Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking a little Titans, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend John Glennon from the Nashville Post. John, good morning. How are you?
I am well. How are you guys?
Awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. John, they were about as bad as it gets against the Browns, and then they responded against Cincinnati and played about as well as I think they can play. What impressed you the most about the Titans on Sunday and their win against Cincinnati, and I guess what was most surprising to you at the at how they were able to do it?
Yeah, you know, I think what probably stunned me most, I guess, and was most impressive was the offense, you know, really an explosion for the offense that we saw there in the first half. I mean, this offense was so poor against Cleveland, 94 yards of total offense. And then you look at what they did in the first half against the Bengals. You know, not only did the fact that they ran up to 24 points, but it was kind of the way they did it. You know, you look back at you know, the play-by-play, and there was a stretch, nine plays, eight out of those nine plays, the Titans had 15 yards or more during one stretch, and that's almost – unfathomable if you go back a week and you look at what the Titans were doing against the Browns. So I think to me that really stood out. You know, they weren't obviously quite as explosive in the second half, but you know, when you rattle off a 10-minute drive in the third quarter and you have a huge lead, that does significant damage too. And then I think, you know, when you switch over and you look at the other side of the ball, we had seen play after play, X play after X play, you know, getting completed against the Titans in the previous three games. Longest play they gave up to Cincinnati was 17 yards. You know, there was constant pressure on Joe Burrow as well. So a lot of good things for the Titans coming out of that game.
So through four games, John, this team compared with what you thought it would be before the season started. How would you compare those two teams?
You know, I guess if you average everything out, it's probably somewhere around where we thought it would be. It's just maybe that we didn't think that we would see the extremes that we have seen so far. You know, for a team that has not scored a touchdown in two of the four games, and in the other two games looked very, you know, solid offensively, looked explosive against the Bengals. So, you know, I think it's an interesting situation right now. You know, you're a quarter of the way or so into the season. You're getting ready for divisional play. And this is, you know, this is really where you start making your mark. So I'd say, you know, the Titans are probably, as they say, about where we thought they would be. It's just not necessarily the way that we thought they would arrive there.
John, so obviously Petit Frere's suspension cut short. They should be getting Skoronski back here pretty soon. When those two guys are back in the fold, what do you think this offensive line should look like?
That is the key question, isn't it? You know, I think all of a sudden, you know, Mike Vrabel has some options, you know, which is something he really hasn't had much of, you know, to date on the offensive line. I think, you know, to me, Skoronski right now, you know, as soon as he's healthy, obviously he's going to be a starter. I think for the moment, I still think he goes back in at left guard, the position that the Titans have used him at, you know, so far and throughout his first offseason and first game. You know, and honestly, I think probably this week, even if Nicholas Petit-Frere is ready, I still think they stick with Hubbard for the moment. I think Hubbard has been playing pretty well, and I think Petit Frere is obviously, you know, probably a little bit rusty now as well. I think maybe when things start to get interesting to me on the offensive line is maybe in a week or two, you know, if Andre Dillard, who held up pretty decently against the Bengals, if he is struggling, really struggling at that left tackle spot in maybe another week or two, and you've got that bye week coming up, maybe that's when you say, okay, let's try something new. Again, if Dillard is really struggling at that point, and then you've got options there, you know, do you take a chance and move Skoronski out to left guard, keep Radins at left tackle and use Radins at left guard, Do you go Raidens at left tackle? Or do you go with NPF at left tackle, leave Hubbard at right tackle? So all of a sudden there are options. I don't know if we're going to see a ton of change maybe this week, but I'm more interested maybe a week or two down the line. Again, if Dillard is showing some real signs of struggle, to me, that's when things maybe turn around more.
What's been the most surprising thing to you, John, about the AFC South so far, which, of course, has 4-2-2 teams right now?
Yes, I guess probably a couple things. One, that there seem all over the map so far. Everybody's beaten one another, except for the Titans haven't played any AFC South opponents. And then, I guess, two, the obvious is that I probably expected the two rookie quarterbacks to struggle a bit more than they have. I mean, C.J. Stroud has gone out there and basically thrown for, almost 300 yards a pop in each of these games, and I wouldn't have necessarily envisioned that. And Anthony Richardson, he doesn't have the passing numbers, but certainly he's had an impact, a big impact, whether it's running the ball, whether it's throwing downfield, and I envision more bumps in the road for both those guys early on. So I've been impressed. And, I think we should probably throw Jacksonville in there too. I think most of us probably thought Jacksonville was a little bit, head and shoulders above the other teams in this division. And, we haven't necessarily seen that so far. They got flattened by Houston a couple weeks ago, and they're sitting there at 2-2, just like everybody else.
John, obviously no Burks on Sunday. He's going to have to be back in an important part of this offense at some point. What do you make of the way guys like NWI and Chris Moore have stepped up so far this season? I feel way better about the bottom part of the receiving room than I thought I would heading into the year.
Yeah, you have to really appreciate, what NWI has done. And I know Joe has certainly been a long proponent of NWI.
Big fan. Thank you.
We all know. I think NWI gets a tough rap sometimes because let's look at, obviously his history. He was an undrafted free agent. He made the team. He's worked his way up to a lower level receiver. And he seems to get a lot of flack now because he is not necessarily a number two or a number three guy. Well, this is a guy who maybe wasn't even going to make a team in the first place. So I think he kind of catches a lot of undue criticism just because he gets forced up into situations sometimes where he wasn't supposed to be. But, he has come through big time. He's the only receiver with touchdown catches for the Titans so far. He has two. Everybody else has a grand total of zero among the wide receivers. Who knew that four games into the season, Chris Moore would be averaging 33 yards a reception. But that's where it stands, and I think he has shown that excellent ability downfield to kind of win contested catches, to beat defensive backs when they've got a chance at it too. And, I don't know if any of us expected Chris Moore to be that guy, that the Titans might turn to for downfield throws, but hey, that's where it stands. And he's had success so far.
33.5 points a game, by the way, for Chris Moore.
Yards,
people.
Not points.
Oh, did I just say points?
You did.
I'm trying to correct
the
someone.
One-man
just,
offense.
Great job by me. Great job. Yeah, it's true. NWI, it is sort of like the Jeff Swaim, Cole Smith thing a little bit, right? I mean, just the idea of, it's like don't yell at the player who is just taking advantage of an opportunity. You'd be mad that the opportunity's there, but no, I agree. I mean, NWI has been really good. What about Tannehill, John? Just I feel like obviously he was the problem in week one, and in week three, I mean, I don't think he had a chance to glance downfield before he was hit. But what do you think he is right now, and do you think that we're seeing maybe Tannehill and Tim Kelly kind of building toward a really good quarterback OC partnership here?
I think it's certainly possible, yeah. I don't think any of us can really figure out what went on there in week one. It's kind of an inexplicable game for, for Tannehill, in my opinion, you know, and we've long discussed that, you know, not only the picks, but the missing some open throws, and you just kind of scratch your head, you know, and shrug your shoulders. And you know, we haven't seen that Tannehill since. Again, I'm with you. I don't think he can take much blame for that Cleveland game because he was constantly under assault. But, you know, I like what I have seen, you know, more so from the Titans taking those shots downfield, I think, more often and succeeding with them more often than we have in the past. You know, and I liked in the Cincinnati game, I thought they were very good in terms of play action, which is not the first time this year they've been very good in play action. You know, I do think that there's a good chemistry going on. I still think, you know, everybody was starting to wonder after that first game, okay, is this the year that Tannehill absolutely falls off a cliff? And I don't think so. You know, and in some ways you can sort of compare what Tannehill has done so far to what Derrick Henry has done. And what I'm saying is if the offensive line gives enough protection for Tannehill, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. Same with Derrick Henry, what we saw last Sunday. You know, when he is not getting hit in the backfield, when he is able to get to the line of scrimmage without having to deal with contact, when he's able to get a little bit of a head of steam, you know, then we're going to see that Derrick Henry that we're used to. So similar in that regard. I think if the offensive line can help both those guys, you know, I think they've still got plenty left.
Well, John, thanks so much for taking time to be with us this morning. Appreciate it as always, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
John Glennon from the Nashville Post, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Got some of your questions to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.